Hey, yo. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is our AEW Dynamite Grand Slam review. Yes, it's a big, big show with amazing matches and a 5-star, 6-star, 18-star, whatever hell kind of match you want to call. Plus, we talk about, is it a war? Is it not a war? What do you guys think? This is Total Spot Fest. One, two, three, four.
Welcome back to Total Spot Fest. This right here is JJ Brownlee. That over there is Jamie Faulkner. We are coming back at you for our review of AEW Dynamite Grand Slam. Holy cow, let's go.
I don't feel like you gave it enough justice with your intro.
I did not.
I mean, we are Grand Slam.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is AEW's main event!
There you go. I feel like that's better.
Is that better? All right.
There we go. Well,
thank you guys for watching. Spoiler alert, wow. Like originally I was just going to, originally I started, I just wrote one word, wow. And then I was like, I'll write a couple notes every here and there because, wow. So it was that good. We're gonna get all into it. We're gonna talk about it. We got some other things we're gonna let you guys know about. There's not a ton of other news going around today, so it's gonna be basically just focused on Grand Slam because it was worth it. But for those, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. Like I always say, if you are watching us on YouTube, drop a comment down below. Tell us what you thought of Grand Slam. Because, you know, it's already getting rave reviews from us. But tell us what you thought. What was your favorite match? What'd you think about it? While you're down there, hit the like button. Hit the subscribe if you want to hear more. It does help us out quite a bit. If you are listening to us on your favorite podcast provider, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Total Spot Fest.
We do respond.
Okay, hey.
I promise you. We do respond.
We do. And by we definitely means Jamie. If you leave a comment, I'll respond. You know, that's the way we break it up. I do the YouTube. Jamie does the socials thing. So find us on them internets. So, all right, let's not beat around the bush because this was probably AEW's most important night on cable television.
You know, that's a bold statement because...
I made it. I'm going for it.
I feel like you're not wrong, though. I think this is the time.
I had thoughts about that. And I want to say that till after we're done talking about this show. But I want to at least drop that little grenade out there early so that we can watch it explode later. Because I will definitely get into my reason for saying that. But, I mean, this show was... The buildup was huge. It was all over everywhere. It was on TV, left and right. They were spray painting things on the sidewalks of Manhattan.
I mean,
you know, billboard. This was it. And before you get into the run through of the show, I do want to just make one quick note here that this is the largest wrestling show outside of WWE in America since 1999. Announced attendance was 20,177.
Boom.
And if you would remember back 4 years ago, three and a half, 4 years ago, before All Out, for All In, excuse
All
me,
in.
Before All In was even announced, and they were talking about wanting to do that, you know, the Bucks, Omega, and Cody, you know, before they even announced what the show was going to be, there were just rumors of it. I remember there was one POS former wrestling personality, Jim Cornette, that said these scrubs couldn't even sell 10,000 tickets if they tried. Well, they did sell out All In. They've sold out all sorts of stuff since then. And now the largest wrestling show in America outside of WWE since 99. So let that sink in for a minute. That's a big effing deal.
That's a huge deal. Wow.
Wow. Wow, indeed. More wows. Jamie, start us off. Let's just dive right into it because we got a lot to go
over. We do. We really do. So
you got to find a way to get into some variant of that Pitch Perfect shtick.
Absolutely.
Don't you?
Absolutely.
One day I'll watch Pitch Perfect, so I get it.
And you'll get it really, really well. It's pretty fun.
I probably will.
Yeah. You'll hear it like, oh, there it is. And then just keep going. All right. Well, anyway.
I might get a girlfriend one day that loves that movie. Who knows?
There you go. There you go. All right. So the very first match of the night. And yes, they started with a match. This definitely had the pay-per-view vibes because it really didn't have a whole lot of promos. It had one real promo. Then they had a couple, like they had a mini.
They had a couple little ones,
but they had one big one, you know, and typically they have like two or three. This definitely did have those pay-per-view vibes. So, you know, I feel like I should do my radio voice for this one, JJ. And this is Brian Danielson versus Kenny Omega. It was really damn good.
I don't know if I like your radio voice. I don't either. Be honest. Okay, well, let's not do that.
It sounds really fake, and you know how I feel about fake people, so let's just not do that.
Yeah. It sounds like a play-by-play announcer from a really bad, like, not even B-level or C-level movie. You know, straight to cable, you know, bad buddy cop comedy or something. Oh, yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, one of those types, yep. Get you. All right.
Were you surprised they started with this match? Let me ask you that.
I'm very surprised. Once, because I was on the Twitters before, of course, and it was confirmed that this match would not be the main event. And another match was confirmed to be the main event. And I was beyond shocked and pleased all at the same time because they deserved it.
Same right
so
there.
So we're not gonna, I'm not gonna divulge that information.
Yeah, we'll get to it later. But so, then they open with this, and it's like, holy shit.
This match, I without ego, without hesitation, I watched this match twice, easily a 5-star match.
I'm conservative, and I'm not one to jump to giving, but yes, it absolutely.
And honestly, it ended in the best possible way. I know people don't like the way it ended, but man, for my money, I'm like, that's perfect. That is absolutely perfect. So
it really was.
So this match had everything, and the crowd when they started was deafening. Like, it was damn near shake the screen, like you're watching a college football game. Just people just going ape shit. It had everything, man. It was excitement personified.
It felt like just the kind of like the aura in the arena kind of felt like when we were at All Out and seeing CM Punk, you know, it was the same sort of like they were on edge. The crowd from the moment the lights got flipped on, they were amping to go. And the pacing of the match was great because it let them basically just get even more worked up as soon as the bell rang. But that's what my equation would have been. It felt like that CM Punk Darby match that we saw, you know, because you remember how that was. The crowd was a very similar way. It's just like, ah, let's go, you know.
Yeah, it had, dude, this match had everything. It it had so many different moves. My favorite was the Danielson put Omega in the cattle mutilation, which as soon as I heard that, I'm like, what the fuck is that? And then I see it, I'm like, okay, this might become my second favorite submission just because the name's really cool. Like, cattle mutilation. Like,
yep. What? Did you hear the story about Danielson and cattle mutilation? Did you tell me the story about this?
No, I did not tell you the story.
So, sidebar here. Okay, guys. So there was a story, and I don't remember who it was, but it was some wrestler was on interview of something or another, and they're talking about Danielson and this and that, and he was doing the cattle mutilation back in his Ring of Honor days, right? And he had no idea it was called cattle mutilation. He saw it done. He finally liked it. He started doing it. And so they were kind of talking about the match that they were doing. And it's like, we get here, we could do this. And, you know, and then how about you do this? You go into the cattle mutilation. He goes, that sounds great. I have no, what's the cattle mutilation? It's like, what do you mean? You do it almost every match. I'm like, no, I don't. I wouldn't, you know, like, Yes, you do. he'd been doing it for years and had no idea it was called the cattle mutilation until perfect. Like somebody who was planning a match out was like, that's the name of the thing. And he wouldn't believe him. And he had to get like confirmed by like five people. So it's a fantastic story. Sorry.
No, that's absolutely perfect. This match, though. Oh, my God. Oh. It...
We could talk about this match for
yes, an hour. Yes, easily.
We really could.
Easily. And even us talking about it for an hour would not do it justice. So, one, if you have not watched this match, shame on you. You should feel bad. And two, go watch the damn match. If you've only watched it once, go watch it again. Because it was that damn good. Everything about it. So, this match had a 30-minute time limit. I'm going to make sure I definitely point that out. It had everything. Those two were going after each other, like label locks, V triggers, left and right, everything. Time limit draw. And
I didn't even consider that until Justin Roberts announced there was a 1 minute left in the match. I go, oh shit, I didn't even think about a draw. Cause I'm like, who's going to do this? You can't have him lose, but you can't have him lose.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's an option. I totally forgot about it because that's how invested I was.
Yeah,
in this match.
And the thing is too, like the crowd was like, "Fight forever, fight forever!" Like they were going nuts about it, and then boom, the time limit, and the crowd kind of was like, "Oh," but then like they were like, "Wait, that's even better because it sets up more story." And then right after the match, Kenny Omega said, ain't no rematch. So he did a double negative there, which I appreciate that from him because he's very well educated. He does not say ain't no on purpose. So this match, the way it ended, and the Bucks came out and checked on their friend because finally after the time limit expired, Danielson got the label lock on him, and then they pull off Danielson, and then them along with Adam Cole, boom.
Hey, babe.
They did a triple super kick onto Danielson's face, and Danielson. Out comes the Lucha, Jurassic Express. I always say Lucha Express for some reason, because the Luchasaurus,
he's throwing you off. I get it.
So
I get it.
The Jurassic Express, along with one Christian Cage, they come out and make the save. And, right. Oh my goodness.
That's all set up for their Friday match and everything, but... Here's also the thought I had after the match was over. It is very rare that a dream match lives up to your expectation. Case in point, AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yes, that one did not.
And that was everybody wanted. And he won the King, and he won the Royal Rumble, Shinsuke did. And we're like, AJ Shin, that's going to be amazing. And it wasn't. And that's not the only time. I mean, that's happened a lot. Back in like the late 80s, early 90s, like seeing Ric Flair at his height, sexual predator, potentially Ric Flair at his height, and a definite, you know, sexual deviant Hulk Hogan. I see a theme here, but at the height of their popularity, everybody wanted them to get one of them. And then in 92, Flair was in WWE, as was Hogan. And you're like, we're going to get to see it. We didn't see it until like 97 or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like, man. So it's rare that the dream matches deliver like they do. And this one did. 1,000%.
This is probably the greatest match I have watched, singles match I have watched on TV for free. Like just on cable TV.
Okay.
Is probably the greatest match I've ever seen for free. It's singles.
Oh, that's a bold statement.
Singles. Because pay-per-views, you pay for for them. This one, you didn't get to, you didn't pay
on
for
I know, I hear you. I hear you. But, I mean, God, I had to think about that before I'd make a claim that bold. But it is up there. This match was a pay-per-view match.
I can't think of a free match that even contends with even Omega Pac. Like I can't think of one for real.
Well, but we were there live for that.
Yeah, well, it was still.
I don't know. That match kind of does because they went to the limit on 30-minute Ironman and overtime, so it ended up being like a 40-minute you know, yeah. Iron Man, or so. I mean, that match was amazing. Is it in a different way? Because that match was just all go. It was like just flippy spinny shit from the go. This was your quintessential pay-per-view main event match as the opening match for a TV weekly episodic episode.
Yeah, and the crowd was buzzing like it was a pay-per-view. Like, it was insane. It was big fight feels.
It was paced that way. It was paced that way. It was very one side, then the other side, then the other side. Then they amped up, and then big spot on the outside. And then that led to this. And then that led to a cascade of things. And then back and forth, and back and forth. And this and this and this and this and this. And there was no... There's no funny business. There was no nothing at all in the match, which I appreciated. Yeah, it was a pay-per-view match on TV. So I'll put it up there. You said, you know me. I'm not the one who makes those bold claims. You are. So 100%. I'm with you, though.
But okay, so if you guys have an opinion on that, is this one of the best matches you've ever seen on TV? Put a comment in. What do you compare it to? I would love to know what you guys compare it to. Put a comment on YouTube. Send us a tweet at Total Spot Fest. I really want to hear what you guys have to say about this. Plus, after this match, I really had an appreciation to why Bryan Danielson is vegan. Because I figured I understand now, because he was like a cow because his chest looked like hamburger meat.
I wondered where you were going with that. All right. I
mean, I'm still going to eat meat.
How do you follow that up, though, is the question, because that's an impossible well, task, right?
Funny you should say that, sir, because after that, we got our first promo of the night, the best promo of the night, the promo of the night, I'll call it.
It really was.
CM Punk comes out to Cult of Personality, of course, and he even asks, how do you follow that? He goes, I'm glad I'm not on Dynamite tonight. How do you follow that? Because he knows.
Well,
they tore the roof off. Well,
you
follow
that by putting CM Punk after that. That's, you know, yeah, you could follow that.
Yeah, you could follow that talking, not wrestling. So you're the perfect break.
No.
You were the perfect break. So basically in his thing, he calls out Team Taz, and he's like, hell, half of you guys are from here, they're booing you, which I thought was great. And, you know, everybody's wanting the old Punk to come back. I am too, honestly. This new Punk, I like him. I like him, but I feel like it's a ruse. Fun. I feel like it's a ruse, and he's going to come after us in old Punk style, and the people are going to love it even more. That's the thing. Like, we want edgy Punk back.
I don't disagree with you. And I think it goes in line. Remember, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, maybe, or it was like, maybe it was the show after All Out. I don't remember, but. But I said, you know, it's time now. We're getting close to where Punk's going to have to be a official member of the roster, not just the special guy, you know, kind of bit, right? And like Adam Cole. Adam Cole is definitely, like, he came out to save, you know, along with the Young Bucks. He wasn't featured. They didn't have to have the big entrance and all that stuff. And it wasn't like a stop and pause and watch Adam, you know. And Punk's going to have to get there, too. I think those two things go together. I really do. I think you get edgy, mean, clobbering time Punk with him, you know, taking that spotlight slightly off of him, as bright as it is, right? Yeah. When he becomes more of a full-fledged member of the roster. You know what I mean? You
get no, what I, coming, I, what yeah, I'm yeah, saying I, totally, that? I totally get yeah. what you're saying. I don't disagree. I definitely think he has just such an ability to be a great heel, but also a great tweener. He's a better tweener than anybody probably out there, other than maybe Randy Orton, okay? Even though we hate that product, Randy Orton is an amazing tweener.
And there's amazing talent on that product, unfortunately.
They have great talent. They just don't know how to use them, which is terrible.
They're buried or stuck in bad stories.
Yeah. But anyway, Punk did a good job, hyped up the crowd. He was the great level set in between matches.
Palate cleanser.
He was a palate cleanser.
He did throw a good jab, though. He said that it's been a long time since I've been in New York. It's been even longer time since professional wrestling has been in New York City.
Yes. Yeah, that was really good.
Turning that knife. Yeah. I dug that.
So after this, we had It was a good match, honestly. It was a lot better than I was expecting. Again.
It was.
And it was MJF with Wardlow versus Brian Pillman Jr. with Julia Hart. Julia is just adorable. Like, she's just cute as a little button. This match had a lot of good stuff. Pillman looked really good. MJF, of course, looked good. They sold for each other. MJF, towards the end, got just control, and then he hit the salt of the earth, and there you go.
He did all the heel things. It was what you expected. If I was going to place one match, it's probably the lowest match of the night. But it was like you said, a lot better than I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah. If you had to rank this match, it's probably the bottom of the show. But it was still
good. It was number five of the night. It was the fifth best match. There was five matches.
It was still really damn good, though.
It was good. It was good. It was much better than I thought. And Pillman's getting over more. I wonder if this whole thing, because he came out with just Julia Hart.
Yep.
I wonder if they're trying to really push him singles and break him off of the Varsity Blondes.
I would like to see that. I would like to see him grow a little bit more. But what they've done, though, with those guys who they're wanting to push like that, i.e., Jungle Boy, they keep him with a crew, so he still gets some time with them. Right. And like, he's not buried in the singles race, which I love that they do that, because as you know, the WWE style is, hey, we'll make him a singles guy, and then he's gonna lose 26 times in a row and everybody's gonna forget about him. They right. don't do that. They're really
but
smart.
Yeah, but you gotta think, you know, it's that odd balancing act that Tony Khan has to do, because you look at their tag team division. You got Lucha Brothers and Young Bucks and Dark Order, and then the other Dark Order, and then actually there's three Dark Order tag teams technically, and then you've got FTR, and then you've got, and I can keep going, Private Party, Butcher and the Blade, and then, you know, Bear Country, and, you know, the Men of the Year. And then, so their tag team division is almost similar. So
yeah, good
maybe
point.
Just to keep it fresh, have them do some singles, have them come back to, I get where you're coming from there. It's like you don't fully detach, but you kind of just... Shuffle.
Yeah, I think the best thing that actually AEW could do at this point is introduce the Trios Championship.
You really want to see a Trios belt? I think it makes sense. They've laid enough groundwork to have Trios involved.
Oh, 100%. Like, you have so many of these groups that have three-plus people in them, all these factions. It makes total sense. Like, the Dark Order could easily do it with, you know, Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, and Ten. Or Colt Cabana. You know? Jinx. So, you know, it's just one of those things. So, all right.
Well, we'll speculate about future titles later.
Yeah, 100%. After this, we had Jericho and Hager with Alex Marvez. They're ready to take a snack out of some meatheads in the Big Apple, baby. That's basically all I got out of that whole thing.
Eh, whatever.
It was fine. But then we get the...
Ooh.
2A match of the night, because there was another 2B. I will give it a 2B. So this one, it was the co-runner-up for the match of the night. And this is Malakai Black versus Homelander. I'm sorry, Cody Rhodes.
It was straight up home. I mean, I don't get Cody's, like, ultra-American thing. Like, the American dream... His father never came out looking like Apollo Creed from Rocky IV, right?
He came out black and yellow polka dot.
Black with yellow, yeah. The American dream, it wasn't that literal, Cody. So this whole, like, American, I don't get the ultra patriotic thing.
I know,
that he's
like,
doing,
he's not which... doing right. He'd be like, I'm American dream, baby. Came up hard times, hard times, Jack. Sorry. God, I miss me some Dusty Rhodes.
Everybody does. Rest in peace, Dusty.
So, Homelander comes out with his wife, Brandy. So, Brandy is officially back.
First appearance since giving birth.
She looked amazing. She looks stunning and radiant, as she always does. So, that's great. She has the mommy glow about her, too. Which, I will have to say, as a husband of a woman who's had a child, I found my wife more attractive after the first kid. I can't explain why, and I think that just happens with most women. Like, they have a kid and somehow they're just more attractive. I just don't get it, but Brandy falls in that category. So, as I completely digress, and take that as
I'll let
you will
take that and run with it.
Yeah,
Mr. Single, no kids here is like Sure.
Not saying women without kids aren't beautiful, because you absolutely are.
I have nothing to add to that conversation or statement.
I'm just hoping my wife listens to this and hears that and she goes, aw, instead of like, what the fuck did you say about me? So, you know, that's what I'm going for. So, anyway, this match was awesome.
He's trying to get brownie points. It's okay.
I need all of them I can get right now.
I mean, tickets. They did announce somewhere in the middle of this here that Dynamite is going to be November 3rd in Kansas City, Independence, that is. So tomorrow, 24th, tickets go on sale 10 o'clock. So Jamie's buying tickets. So yes. That's why he's doing that, to get brownie points, because we're trying to get front row. Just saying.
Oh, well, I've already told her. That, but if it's just you and I, it'd be a lot easier to accomplish. But if I have to bring one,
you still gotta get them brownie points. You still get them brownie points.
I really wonder if Megan Three Belts is gonna want to come, because you know she is Megan Three Belts and she is, yes, my champion.
not four belts though.
Yeah, three out of four.
No grand slam for Megan.
Triple crown. Anyway, so Malakai Black, Cody Rhodes, good match. I do love how the crowd reacted to this.
The crowd was amazing
all night.
For all night, but the way that they reacted in this match really got. That's what half of my notes were on this was about the crowd, because I don't say I was shocked, but I was moderately surprised.
Yeah, like Malakai Black was getting the cheers. Everybody loved Malakai Black. And
super over.
And legit, Cody sounded like he was getting X-Pac heat. That's what I was getting. Like, people don't want to see him.
He was getting booed for sure. Yeah, he was getting booed for sure.
Like, it felt like X-Pac
heat. And, yeah. And
which is shocking to me.
And it migrated, too, because then Cody had, like, Randy as well as Arn Anderson there. There was one of my favorite moments in the night is Malakai did his thing where person goes outside, he goes, jumps on the rope, does the backflip, and then takes it into his like crisscross applesauce dance.
Yeah.
I got to remember the correct way to, because the way that we called it when we were kids is not politically correct. I don't want to be that guy. But, you know, since they're cross-legged, you know, in the ring, and then immediately Brandi Rhodes slides in and she starts getting booed out of nowhere, but then she does the same thing, and she kind of does the same sort of cross-legged sit and just goes up to his race, and you could see her mouth fuck you
on and the TV. Crowd went nuts,
and that got a pop.
Yeah, that got a big old
that
pop.
Got a pop. But yeah, they were like, they were all, I don't, maybe it's because they're being force fed to his like reality show and all this other stuff. I don't know why, but he was definitely getting heat. I wouldn't say X-Pac heat yet though, personally.
It felt like it, but then he did something towards the end that makes mm-hmm. me have hope for him.
Oh yeah. Well, I know where you're going with this. Go.
Okay. So towards the end of the match, Cody gets Malakai in the corner and just starts just beating him up. Like, just Cody's actually working him. It was a great match. It's actually back and forth. Cody just is hitting him away. And at that point, the ref comes over and he like pushes the ref and hits the ref. I'm like,
yeah,
what?
It's Rinsberg too. Really. I'm like, yeah, elbows him.
I'm like, I saw what you did there. Are you going Homelander? Like,
I think he's legit going
Homelander, and I think this was all set up to be Homelander, like for real, because he's a huge comic book nerd and he loves that kind of stuff. So he might legit do the crazy maniacal sociopath of Homelander.
It's great.
And if he does that,
that's good, because
it's the best thing that could happen to him, because he's been overly face for so long and people loved him, and now we're sick of him. Like, I am sick of him. I'm like, I don't want Cody on my screen right now.
It's like I don't want to. I can't believe I'm pulling a second Hulk Hogan reference in one show, but you know, Hulk Hogan was the ultimate. He, for a decade almost, was the exact same thing, and he was at the top, and he was the same. You know, no change, no tweak at all, right? And I know it was a different time and a different era, but he was best, in my opinion, that first like year of him doing the Hollywood shtick, right? That was when, because he, you know, but I'm not saying he's going to get that drastic, but yeah, since he's been in AEW started, Cody Rhodes has been the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
and it's time for something different. And I'm all about, if Malachi drives him to be this crazy Homelander, yes, please.
And what if he joins the House of Black?
I mean, I'm not going to rule that out.
I would love that. But I'm just thinking, like, honestly, I would love to see everybody he breaks eventually joins him. So I'd love to see, like, Arn Anderson come with him, you know? And, like, I would love to see something like that because I think he would do something like that. Like, basically, he kills you and rebirths you in the House of Black.
He's the White Walker of AEW.
Yeah, well said. Great Game of Thrones reference. The books, not the series.
That was great until the last
two seasons. But who's counting?
I didn't mind saying the last season.
Well, it was okay that it got dumb, like half of it. Anyway, we could talk about that for a long time.
No, that's another podcast.
Yes. All right. So,
Black Mist.
So, yes, after Cody elbows the ref, he comes back over and Malachi spews black mist in his face, and it was just awesome. And he rolls him up, 1, 2, 3, your winner, Malachi Black. He escapes with the win. So good.
Very good. Okay. Best match he's had in AEW because it's the first non-squash match he's had in AEW.
Yeah, he wasn't toying with him, anything like that. It was actually a good back and forth match. And like there were signs and people on Twitter, everybody's like, if Cody wins, we riot. He hit a crossroads and like you heard the crowd like boo, boo.
They were not behind.
They were so booing so hard when he was on the cover, and then as soon as Malachi pulled out, it was like, that was so good. Like, I swear, it was close to X-Pac heat. It really was.
It was very close. And I don't know if that's more speaking to Malachi's popularity or... I don't know. Here's the funny thing. You look at this. This is something you would never see in the other promotion because those people who run that would look at this and they could not fathom how, like, this nice clean-cut-ish guy, you know, it could be getting all the heat, whereas the heavily tattooed, you know, like, demon spawn dude, you know, would be getting all the it's like, how is that possible? But yeah, that's a beautiful thing about AEW. Different folks for different strokes. And Malachi Black hit a ridiculously good Black Mass. And I'm still calling it that. I don't know
if they still call it the Black Mass. They still call it the Black Mass.
Oh, fan fucking
no, the one where he hit him and he rolled out of the ring.
He hit him, and Cody sold it. Here's the thing, no matter if you hate him, Cody can put on a match.
Yes, 100%. He can.
He's got to have the right opponent. He's been trying, like you talked about it like a little ways back. He was trying to put over all these young kids, which is great and all, but it does nothing for you. And yeah, you know, he could put on a good match still. And he sold it that he got knocked out, and then right by it fell out of the ring, and Malachi was going after him. It was top to bottom, this match was fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. Great match. Again, like I have to give props to Cody, even though he was getting X-Pac heat. After this, there is an exchange between Miro and Sammy in a little video thing. Sammy is a good challenge for the TNT title next week. I think it's time. And if Sammy wins, he will buy Fuego del Sol a new car, which I hope so, because Fuego got locked out of his house. If you happen to watch Sammy's vlog.
You watch Sammy's vlog. That's canon, too.
Yes.
That's become canon, too. And pretty soon Ethan's going to be canon. And, you know, then
Ethan's
Uno's
is great.
And then,
I love Ethan's.
Ethan's is good. I really like Uno's vlog, too, because Uno is just so awkward at times. It's great. It's fantastic. Oh, I love Ethan.
Yeah, like when he was talking video games with a person who wouldn't be on there.
Mysterious, you know, voice.
You know the voice.
It was definitely Tommy Yen.
Yes.
It was 100% Tommy
Yen. They were talking video games. It was so cool. They were nerding out.
Yeah, them and Leva Bates and everything, who, you know, which I'm happy Leva's so heavily involved in the production aspect of things, but I do miss kind of seeing on her because I liked her as Blue Pants, and, you know, I think she still has the wrestling chops, but yeah, they were totally nerding out. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw this too, but I know we're going way off topic, but whatever, guys. But AEW Games has their YouTube channel, and they've kind of started doing like up, down, down-esque things. There's currently a FIFA 21 tournament going on with AEW wrestling. Oh,
Miro's in it. You gotta know Miro's gonna be in it.
Miro's in it, and Miro's already advanced, and yes.
Miro's gonna win. He always wins. He's so good at FIFA.
I don't know. The most dominant one is Luther.
At FIFA?
He went up against Serpentico. Spoiler alert for those of you really interested in seeing the FIFA tournament on YouTube, right? He went against Serpentico, and Serpentico mentioned that he bought this game 3 weeks ago, Luther did, because he knew that there was a tournament was going on. Like, he wanted to... So he basically has been, like, sandbagging it, you preparing. Know? He beat Serpentico 7-0, and it was Chelsea versus, like... Oh. Chelsea versus Madrid. So it's not Real like Madrid, it was not against like one team good and one team bad. He just beat the piss out of him. But hey, it's very entertaining. And Uno's kind of like a hostish for that. Hostess.
That's fun.
Hostish.
Yeah.
Hostess. I don't know. Words. He's hosting it in a manner of speech.
MCing it.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. That's another great thing. I know we're giving you all the AEW love juice and bullshit, whatever, guys. But a lot of the guys are tied up in other things. It's cool that Evil Uno, along with his other stuff he does, he's also involved in the AEW Games YouTube channel, mm-hmm. right? Other people doing other things, production and other this and that, and cool. Anyway,
yeah.
Oh, one last thing I do want to say. Next week is for the title. It is in Rochester, New York. So, just Brody Lee's hometown. Just everybody remember that. Something's going to happen.
I totally agree. Something's
going to happen. And it could be TNT title related or Dark Order. Something's going to happen. So, I'm just saying, look out.
I agree. Now you got my wheels to spin. Mark Stradamus kept a stew on that one.
Yeah, think about that. We could talk about that next Tuesday.
All right. So the next match of the night, which was also another good match, but it was number 4 on the night, really.
Something mildly surprised me, though.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I was expecting a certain thing, and it wasn't what I was expecting. It was better than expected. Again, better than expected. And this is FTR with Tully Blanchard. FTR coming out in NWO-style threads, which, of course, got me great. Going. The FTR is in the spray paint. It was so good.
They just keep digging at Sting's history. I love FTR's continuity about respecting the history of wrestling and tag team wrestling. It's fantastic.
Yes. So it was them versus Sting and Darby Allin. And this match, again... Very, very good. Sting actually did a few things. Sting's makeup was a little off. He had more of the Darby Allin, like, it was kind of smudged together look. Mm-hmm. It was definitely different for Sting. I don't know if I liked it or not, just to be honest with you, because it reminded me a lot of the crazy Sting from TNA, which I did not like at all.
Oh, the Joker Sting? Yes. Yeah.
Hated that whole thing. But hey, whatever. I mean.
You know that's Young Boy's favorite Sting was that? Was the Joker Sting?
Why does that not surprise me?
I'm just saying it was. I get it, but he did look off. I like him clean cut.
Yeah, like normal Sting. Like Crow normal Sting.
And speaking of which, gripe that I have here, and I've had this from the start. His music is great. It's fine. I like the snow. Good touch, right? It is blackout. There needs to be a Crow's caw before the actual notes start. That drives me crazy. They feature a crow on the screen. He always has had that crow caw as like the beginning of his thing, mm-hmm. right? In WWE he did, in TNA he did. And then you get the organ going in. Anyway, that's petty and bullshit, and I know I'm just spinning my wheels now, but
you kind of are.
Fucking crow noise. I want a crow. I want the crow noise, damn it.
Can't rain all the time.
I know. Whatever.
All right. So this match had a lot of good stuff. Tully was trying to wipe off the face paint of Darby, but Darby evades it and all this good stuff. There was a awesome spine buster on Dax by Sting. That looked amazing. Sting looked really good. Sting actually did a top rope cross body, which was wow.
Sting, like, took bumps and he... did moves, and he surprised the shit out of me, right? Yeah. You know, because really we've only seen him in a, I mean, the other match he's done, whatever. He had the cinematic match. It was great. But everything else is just kind of meh. He looked good.
So, and this is the way it ends. Dax gets hit by a coffin drop by Darby. 1, 2, 3. Your winners, Sting and Darby Allin. Great match, though. Great match.
Well, not exactly. No. Dax is in the sharpshooter.
Was in the sharpshooter, and then Cash tries to pull.
Reaches in to grab him, pulls him, trying to pull him towards the ropes. And Darby, who had been knocked out and was in the trio woe, gets up, does a coffin drop.
Then he taps. That's my fault.
On the apron, which, if you didn't know this, Jamie, that is the hardest part of the ring.
I did not know this.
But it was a sick looking coffin drop too. It was pretty badass. So he does that to break them up, and then he taps.
Nice. Yeah. So there you go. There is that match, and then typically this is where you'd have yet another promo, but no, ladies and gentlemen, we are going right to the main event, and it is for the AEW Women's Championship. That is your main event of the night, ladies and gentlemen. The Women's Championship, and I am here for it, and very, very happy and satisfied that this is what happened, and it deserved it, because it was a hell of a match.
This was a great match. This is, and if I'm not mistaken, the second main event, women's main event,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, both of them have Britt Baker in it, yeah.
True dat.
I mean.
Yeah, but still though.
So, I mean, yeah, so you're
the biggest show of, okay,
I'll talk about it. So, yeah, so your competitors for this were Ruby Soho. Hey, Ruby.
Son of a bitch.
Gotcha. Versus Britt Baker, DMD, with Jamie Hayter and Rebel. And oh my God, this. It was a 4-star match. I'll call it easily a 4, maybe 4.5. I mean it.
I'm not throwing stars out on this one. I mean, Daniel Bryan and Kenny Omega was unbelievable.
That one, if you could go past 5, if we were allowed to go beyond the confines of the Matrix of 5, that one might have gone. But this one stays within no matter what.
This match was very good, and you know. The crowd, and the interesting thing about this, the crowd was fully invested in this in a completely different way than they were the Danielson Omega match, which is what I found. Because that's, you know, if you something like this, like doing a female main event, which is, like I said, their second time doing it. The first time was that Lights Out match when they had 30 wrestlers in the stands, mm-hmm. You know? So, how's the crowd going to really, how's it going to go over? How are they going to take it, right? And they took it extremely well, but it was in a very different way. They were a lot more invested technically in this, where they were just like on fucking speed during Danielson and Omega. You know, beginning of the night, end of the night, sure, right? But I was very happy with the fact that they were, because that was my worry, is that you get there, you have Ruby and Britt as the main event, and they were just like, yeah, whatever, you know.
Yeah, but they were definitely not. They were invested. Like, in the very beginning, they had the Ruby Soho DMD chant. DMD. I love that chant. Back and forth.
That was great.
So, this match, like, it had a lot of good moves. Britt hits her nasty neck breaker suplexy thing on the outside off of the apron, the hardest part of the ring,
mm-hmm.
on the outside. It looks nasty and devastating. She hit a nasty curb stomp. The snap German suplex, or side suplex, I should say, that Ruby hits looks amazing. And, damn,
It's almost a Saito. It's close, but not quite. But it's almost a Saito. Mm-hmm.
Like, this match was very well paced, very, very good. There was not a whole lot I can say that I disliked about it. Maybe the finish a little, but not a lot, because I expected this finish. So it ends up, obviously, Rebel interfering. She gets soccer kicked in the face, and then Jamie Hayter.
Which they had a name for it, finally. What was the name?
I thought they called it. I heard it real quick, but I didn't hear what they called it, which I failed.
Keep going. I'm looking.
Okay,
it up.
So she hits Rebel with one, and then Jamie Hayter grabs her head, and then pulls it down on the edge on the ring on the rope. So you know she does the choke thing, and then Ruby falls on her knees, and Britt nails her with a nasty curb stomp. Like it was beautiful. Like foot on the back of the head, not on the back. Like it looked devastating. She hits her with that, and then she rolls her over. Goes for the lockjaw. Ruby taps out. And still, your women's champion, Britt Baker, DMD. I think they call it the soccer kick.
Nope. There was a name that was used.
Pele?
Nope.
Oh, well.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna find it. I don't want to waste time here while we're doing this, but I will find it. He pulled out. I don't know if JR was it. I can't remember, but anyway, JR or Tony Schiavone, one of them pulled it out and actually said what it was, and it was actually a very good. It was kind of fitting with the Runaway theme and everything like that, you know, mm-hmm. and Rancid and Punk stuff. So I was like, oh, that's a good name, because she did it on Britt and then did it. When immediately after that on Rebel when she interfered, or Rebel as Jamie knows
her. Rebel, because it's not Reba. Rebel. It's not Reba or Rebel, it's Rebel.
It is Red Rebel. We're gonna Rebel up on the stage there. She's gonna get the kick in her face, all right?
Rebel.
So I don't know what accent that was. Sorry.
It's pretty good though. I enjoyed it. Whatever.
So but anyway, I totally went off there, you know. But yeah, they did give it a name, and it was actually a decent name. And you know, here's the thing: it's like everybody knows that I've got a fanboy thing going on with Ruby Soho. Hey, Ruby, you know, of course, sure. She showed everybody though what they have not been able to see for the past 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. So you know, she looked. Like she had a lot of this match. She was in charge and doing a vast variety of things. And striking was good. You know, moveset was good. She had a good mix of submissions. I thought for a quick second there, she almost was going to try a lion tamer to really.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I saw it. I was like, oh. And now she's like, aww.
She took her tongue out. She did like the whole like, you know, back foot, you know, catapult into the ring. Sure. So, but at the end of the day, I didn't think that my girl Ruby was going to win, because we've talked about this before. The play, we both believe, is set up for maybe Revolution, but early next year, Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker 3. But I don't mind the way that this ended for this purpose. And there's already a few idiots on Twitter saying, like, what's the point of bringing her and doing all this and then burying her just like she was in WWE? And it's like, well, it's quite a bit different. She's not being buried. Mm-hmm. She was on the main event of the biggest show that AEW has ever put on.
Yeah. The biggest.
That's fucking big. And you don't make it clean so that you keep her around the storyline, right? You know, the story arc. And I think that, you know, as much as I like Ruby, it's too soon to take the belt off of Britt, for one. And I don't necessarily like, that's a very WWE thing to do. You debut, you come in, and immediately you get a belt put on you, right? Just because you're the big name. Mm-hmm. AEW doesn't do that. They didn't do that with anybody, right? They didn't do it with Christian Cage, although he got the Impact belt sort of, but after a little bit, you know, they don't like doing that with their big hires, sure. So I'm fine with that. I had a brief thought there about 2/3 of the way through. I was like, when it's kind of going in the direction, I'm like, Ruby might actually win this. And I thought that because it's like, if she... Here's why. There's no real big surprise tonight, mm-hmm. right? There was no big reveal. There was no big, you know, heel turn or any of that stuff. And I'm thinking, here's why she might win this. I see Jamie Hayter and I see Rebel out there. What if her real life good friends, the Inspiration, show up to give her the assist? That's how she could win. So for about 3 minutes there, I convinced myself that the former Iconics, the Inspiration, were going to show up in AEW, pull Jamie and Rebel away to let Ruby get the win. And I think if you did give her the belt, that's how you'd want to do it, right?
100%.
Because then you got Britt's got a legitimate, you know, argument to go back to, right? You know, because she didn't win in her heel ways, so she can, yeah. So it was good. It was fine. I expected something big to happen the whole night, and it didn't. But that doesn't mean this show wasn't a banger of a show.
Total spot fest for me.
I'm giving it a total spot fest too. And I, you know, I'm very rare doing that, but the Danielson match alone bumps it up there. Every match was good. Even MJF and Pillman having a female, all female, because they had Aubrey as ref too. Having a female main event was awesome. It delivered. Malachi and Cody was great. Total spot fest.
It was.
That makes it easy.
It was. That's all I gotta say. You can forget about it. It's good, you know.
Yeah, forget about it. Get the gabagool.
Yeah.
All right, now
there you go.
Now we're going full New York stereotype here. Sorry to our East Coast friends.
Johnny Hungy.
He's now you're pulling in BTE. Yeah, you're pulling it all. I tell you, they're all canon, folks. We're gonna have to start reviewing the vlogs pretty soon.
That would be hilarious.
We might just do that 1 week just as a swerve. It's like, we're not going to review that. We're going to review the vlogs from this past week.
Speaking of not doing our usual, before we get into the rest, I figured, maybe, do we want to give our lucky listeners a little spoiler of what might happen Monday?
Sure.
If I were you, ladies and gentlemen, I would definitely tune in on our Tuesday show because it might be a little different because we might have a couple special guests. Not going to name names, but you might want to see it. Hashtag heel shit.
You're saying might a lot. We're going to have special guests. Okay. So.
Hashtag heel shit. Let's go.
Yep. That's all we're giving you. So check us out on Tuesday. We're going to be talking about Rampage as well because they apparently, and I thought at first that it was going to be a separate live show they're doing on Friday night. And then it's not. They actually shot it last night along with Dynamite. I'm doing my best to stay away from spoilers. And we're not
getting any spoilers. They're everywhere.
I know. It's like, God damn it, people. Don't you know how this works? Like,
I mean, I appreciate the power of the internet because it's gave me a lot of information before I should have had it. But this is one of the few times that I want to wait. I don't want to know.
Yes.
I just don't want to know.
This is a big show, but it's at the regular time. As soon as I said it was at the regular time slot, I'm like, they're recording it tonight. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought, you know. But so we're going to talk about Rampage on Tuesday, but we also have that very special little thing we have coming in with a guest or guests.
We can say it's plural. It's fine.
Okay, it's guests. Plural. My S's aren't working. Whatever. S. All right. So check that out on Tuesday, guys. And if I end up going to DWF, I will let you guys know how that show was. It's looking iffy. I have some family things I might have to do this weekend. So it's like, I don't know. So yeah. If you are looking for wrestling in the Kansas City area, I do want to say, though, you know, there is Dynamic Wrestling Federation. Tickets are still available. Front row is all sold out. I think second row is sold out, too, or they were getting very close to second row selling out. They have a few of, like, the middle range and then standing room tickets. So, yeah, check it out. Like, 6 o'clock, I think doors are 5:30 on Saturday, this Saturday the 25th. Mm-hmm. It's off of 151st Street, somewhere off 151st Street. It's Dynamic Wrestling Federation. You can find them on Facebook, on Twitter. Just Google Dynamic Wrestling Federation, you'll find it.
Yeah. So, I thought it'd be kind of fun for us to reflect after this amazing Dynamite.
Okay.
And typically we like to do impossible games and things like that. And I know you might have one in store or in tow, But I really want us to think about, when was the last time that you can remember that there was a show like this, like a, such a monumental television show, wrestling show, right, that was this big, that delivered, like the hype, it delivered the hype. It was everything that you wanted and more, and it just blew your socks off, and it also had lots of meaning to it. Like this one, yeah, not only is it monumental for the fact that it delivered, but it is a big night for AEW. Like, this is the night I feel like they are officially throwing their first punch at WWE. I really believe that. This is the first punch being thrown.
I agree with you on that last statement. I think that before I start diving into the answer to that question, I feel like, and we were talking about this like before we started recording, mm-hmm, a little bit too. So, you know, I feel like, and I said at the beginning of this episode, here's where that grenade goes off. Remember I said, I'd come back to, mm-hmm, it. You thought I forgot. I didn't.
I may have teed you up.
Here's what I feel like. You did. Well, we both had a similar idea. I feel like I said it was like the most important night in AEW's history. As for multitude of reasons, the New York market and the market that's been owned by the McMahon family since the 50s, whatever, mm-hmm, it was, 60s, I don't know. There's that. The whole stat, like we talked about, 20,000 plus people, the biggest show since 99, that whole thing. I mean, there's a lot of little bits that you can kind of point to that. But to your point, I think that's the more poignant argument that you can make behind that statement, is that before, there's a little jabs, they're doing a little body work on WWE, right? It's like, it says, oh, did you see Escalada de Muerte? Ooh, it's like, oh, how about this Phoenix guy? Bang! And it's like, oh, the Young Bucks versus Omega and Hangman. It's like 7 stars. Bang! All Out was a good body shot, and this was a right cross. And I think because it was on TV, that's why. It was in New York. It was on TV. It was 20,000 people. And the reception for it, the hype for it. Before the show, it's like there are people lined up literally for miles to get into Arthur Ashe Stadium, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it definitely is. And side note, I did pull up, just in case we had this argument here, this past Monday on Raw was 1.793 million. Mm-hmm. Just FYI. Do I think we're gonna break 1.5 million? I think it's gonna be close. I think we have a shot.
I think it's very close,
but it'll be interesting. It'll see what the payoff is. And now AEW's in major arena status. I mean, it's 20,000 people. No problem, right?
Yeah.
They did the Devil's Arena in Jersey, right? Mm-hmm. They're doing the Target Center in where is that? Minneapolis,
Minnesota.
You know, they're coming to Minnesota. I can do that when I have family up in North Dakota. Yeah,
drink a Coke in Minnesota.
Oh, use guys. Oh, it's use guys. That's what when I say y'all, they lose their mind. And then I remember, like, when I was in high school or college, I can't remember. We were talking about that because I'm a Southerner. I live in Kansas City. I'm a Southerner to them. And no, not, trust me, that's how I think. And they're like, well, what do you say for like a group of people? Well, that's all y'all. And they're like, a couple of my cousins could not process that. I'm like, all y'all. I digress. I think that's definitely that point. I think AEW has shown that they're not a fly-by-night company. You know, this is not a flash in the pan. They can sell tickets, they can sell big markets, and they can put on the shows to back it up. So, what would I equate this to? Was your question. Mm-hmm. The first thing that comes to mind is definitely not a recent one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the first thing that comes to my mind. I've made mention of it in passing before on this podcast, if you know It is the night that Goldberg won the WCW World Heavyweight Championship from Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the Georgia Dome. It was like 98, I want to say. Like
99, fall 98. Yeah.
It was my senior year of high school. I don't remember which side of 98 or 99.
Yeah, I was a freshman in college when it happened.
Yeah, so it was, but it was, it had that feel. He had to go through three, like you said, he had to go through three members of the NWO to earn the opportunity to beat Hogan, and he did. And the night just kept building and building and building. And everybody, like, he can actually do it. Like, this is the first person that could legitimately take that belt off of Hogan. Before, it was an impossible act, right? NWO had become so dominant. And this is the first guy. This is our white knight, right? You know, this is Achilles coming in. You know, he can do it. And he beat one, and he beat two, he beat the third, and just slowly building. He had Diamond Dallas Page, and he had Karl Malone, of all people, watching his back. And they're in the Georgia Dome, which was the Atlanta Falcons stadium, and they sold that fucker out. You know, so there was like 35,000 people watching this damn thing. And it had that. That was the last time that I can really spot to. I know there's been some fantastic shows, even when Raw and SmackDown were still good. NXT had some good ones, of course. AEW had some good shows that they put on as well. But for the most part, that's the one that immediately comes to my mind, is the night Goldberg won the title off of Hogan in the Georgia Dome.
So for me, I have two, and both of them are WCW related. To your point. Okay. So I'm right there with you with WCW. So the first one, and I brought this one up as well, and it is the night that Hall and Nash showed up on Nitro.
The beginning of the war, right? The planting of the seeds of the war.
But my other one is the Monday Night Nitro after Hogan turned heel, and the birth.
Oh, after Bash at the Beach,
the one right after that, and the birth of the New World Order happened.
Oh, they were.
That was the most monumental change, and the powers shifted at that moment. Like, the meter was.
The industry shifted.
The industry completely changed at that point. Everything changed. Once the birth of the NWO happened, WCW. Now, WCW got really stupid and spent their money on a whole bunch of dumb shit, and we all know what happened. I really don't feel like Tony Khan's going to do that. I feel like he's got a good head on his shoulder, and he doesn't like cocaine. So, at least that we know of. But the thing is, it felt a lot like that. Like, there wasn't a big heel turn or anything like that, because they had All Out. And All Out had a lot of the seeds planted. And this is the moment. It was a few weeks after, but this is the moment that is the official start of the war. War has begun, ladies and gentlemen, and Grand Slam was, I think, the official start of the war. First shots were officially fired last night.
Do you, follow-up question to that, do you, that episode was fantastic of Nitro. Mm-hmm. You could actually watch those. You could actually go back on Peacock. I know they're owned by WWE now, but you can actually go back on there and you can watch it. That episode was unbelievable. First time you've seen Hogan in non-black. If it wasn't for that night that Jamie made mention of, you wouldn't have Stone Cold the way Stone Cold was. Mm-mm. You wouldn't have
The Rock the way he was.
You wouldn't have the Attitude Era. WWE would probably have just piddled along as it always had. Mm-hmm. And WCW would have been kind of piddling along. And the wrestling industry would have, honest to God, probably dwindled and been just a remnant, you know? It's still been around, but not like it was.
Not both shows pulling in 8 million people per night.
I think that was, at the time, was such a polarizing thing. That's what got wrestling into, like, wrestling. I mean, shortly thereafter, wrestling was like top line mainstream news all of a sudden, which is amazing to think that it would have been there. But turn it back to you. I want to throw it back at you here. Here's my volley to you, sir.
Okay.
So do you feel like, you talked about war. Do you feel like a war needs to happen, or is it even a real thing? Because here's why I say this. WWE makes ungodly amounts of money just existing.
Yeah. Right?
Their Saudi Arabia deal alone is the thing that businesses dream to like make over the course of their lifetime. Right.
Yeah.
so they're very admittedly on such a different path than what AEW's goals are, right? Mm-hmm. Their goal is to get bought by Disney. Their goal is to do entertainmental things, you know, entertainment-y things, you know? Mm-hmm. My opinion is that, I don't know. I don't know if... Well, I'll let you go first here on that, but do you feel like it's really a war if you've only got one... We've got one of the opponents with one foot in the ring?
So... great, great, great question. And I'm going to have to say it should be a war. This should piss Vince off. And you know what? 20 years ago, Vince would have been pissed and Vince would retaliate in some way and war would begin.
Yeah.
But Vince is old. Vince doesn't trust his kids. That's very obvious. To run...
Blatantly obvious. Yeah,
to run his...
And whether that's him or that's 20 some years of Kevin Dunn being in his fucking ear, I don't know.
But have you watched HBO Succession at all?
I have not.
Okay, gives me those vibes.
I've heard it's fantastic. Yeah,
gives me those vibes. He doesn't want to make his son the new CEO, which I think is just absolutely great. Basically, same thing, right?
Inception, plot of Inception.
I really believe in my heart of hearts that. This should be a war. This should take wrestling to yet another level it has never been. It should. But
yeah,
you have one wrestling show and you have one sports entertainment show now. Instead of having two wrestling organizations, if WWE got back into the game and use its talent the way that they know how to be used, have solid writing, have the people develop their own characters, have them have some kind of input instead of being so damn robotic that, you know, they can actually put on good shows and not have 700 to 1500 people, depending on where you hear, walk out on a promo, you know, like it would, then war would happen. Because honestly, WWE's got the artillery to make this a run. They got the weapons. They have them all over the roster. All over the roster. And they don't know what to do with them. It's sad. Where AEW is now looks like the destination spot for all wrestlers because they want to be wrestlers. They want to be wrestlers. They want to make people happy. They want to feel the crowd. And if the crowd's reacting away, they go that route. They're not afraid to be like, okay, they're seeing me as a heel. Let's go heel. Instead of shoving down my throat the same damn thing all the time and never changing it whatsoever. Like... That's the thing. This should be a war. This is what wars are made of. But you have Switzerland and you have USSR like coming at you like we will crush you, you know? And
it's good that you went with the Russians there because I know where you were originally headed and I didn't like that direction.
Yeah. It's like they're
you were staying in Europe, and I'm like, don't stay in Europe. Don't stay in Europe with that analogy. Yeah,
no.
Please,
okay, obviously good. Not. No, but you know, it's like Switzerland. They're like, you know, whatever. Yeah, we're cool.
Whatever. We got all the gold and the chocolate and the watches
and fuck the beautiful you. Women.
I don't say all the beautiful women. I mean, Russia's got some hotties.
But anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Whoa.
Yeah. Anyway, no. I'm just saying, like per capita. But what I'm just saying, it should be war. And Vince should see it as an act of war, but he won't because he's too old and doesn't care, and he just wants to be bought by Disney.
Yes, because at the end of the day, he's become, in a manner of speaking, I don't. From all account, you know, Daniel Bryan speaks very highly of him. Shit, Cody Rhodes speaks very highly of Vince McMahon. Everybody that's known him, for the most part, you know. Doesn't have a ton of bad things to say. Not everybody. A lot of them. A lot of them don't. You know, as a person, right? You know, but from, once again, you're always like, you're like we said before, Jamie's a data guy. Show me the data. What does the data say? Well, the data says that Vince McMahon has become his post-Attitude Era character, the money-hungry, money man, you know? That's all this has been. It's about making big business deals and stuff. And, you know, I get with you. I don't want to say, I don't 100% agree with the statement it should be a war. Here's why.
Okay.
WWE in their kind of response to, or maybe not their response to, but they recently have revamped NXT into NXT 2.0, which is just a terrible thing. Why would it's just NXT? You don't need to put a fucking, you know, software version number on a TV product, okay? from two guys that were from a software company, we can speak to this a little more intelligently than others. So, you know, but NXT 2.0, and it's been very well documented. What are that Kevin Dunn is here? He's making cuts. There's too many people on the roster, which in hindsight is a great thing. Ruby Soho's promo she had last week, stellar promo against Britt Baker. It's like getting fired is the best thing that ever happened to her. That was no kayfabe. Mm-hmm. That was a legit, truthful statement. She has said that on 13 interviews because she's been on the media blitz this past week, right? So what are they looking for? They are very clear. They are not looking for wrestlers first. They're looking for characters mm-hmm. who they can make into sports entertainers.
Yeah.
Their two biggest signings that get Vince hard are the Parker Boudreau, who we both hate now. Mm-hmm. The former football player from University of Central Florida. He was an offensive lineman, and now he's going to be the next Braun Strowman. And Gabe Stevenson, who's actually a wrestler, a collegiate gold medal winning wrestler, mm-hmm. who's still going to finish his last year of college. It's interesting. Did you see his actual deal he signed with WWE?
No.
It's an NIL deal. So it's a name, image, and likeness deal for the first year. Then after he graduates, it turns into an actual contract.
Oh. Interesting.
That's how they're getting around this here. So, it's, yeah, anyway, but, you know, that's who their future is. It's not people who have been doing this for on the road at Journey Pro, at GCW, you know, fighting to get into, you know, like making their ML go into Major League Wrestling, finally, like War Horses. Shout out to War Horse, going to be on MLW coming up.
Let's
here.
Let's go.
Rule ass. So, in that sense, I'm almost like, fuck them. Leave them behind. They want to get bought by Disney? Cool. Great. Let's make the best wrestling product ever. Because at the end of the day, you know, your competition, and this is one thing that Kevin Dunn said that I will agree with. Not Kevin Dunn. The other con. Whoever Nick Khan. One thing that Nick Khan said that I will agree with is that your competition, like Vince always says, is everything, right? It's an entertainment thing. At the end of the day, okay, that's not wrong. I don't know though, it's almost like apples and oranges when you look at the products now. And
that's well said.
Is WWE going to make their product, you know, appeal to the AEW fan? I don't think so. They don't need to. They're selling billions of dollars in all these deals. They could give a shit, you know? And AEW is very adamant about being who they are because of the anti-WWE almost. So I hear you about the war thing. I don't know. I'm kind of over it, but I want to hear what you guys think about it. You know? So tweet at us at Total Spot Fest. Tell Jamie what you feel. Give me a comment down below. Like we said, we each handle one of those things. So if you want my response, hit a comment. If you want Jamie's response, just tweet us. No, at Total Spot Fest or leave a comment down below. Either way. Oh, it's a very good discussion. And at the end of the day, this was an excellent episode. I'm going to watch it at least twice more. I know that.
Yeah. I've already watched the Kenny Omega, Brian Danielson match twice. I'm probably going to give Ruby Soho and Britt at least one more viewing. I might just watch the whole damn thing again, just to be honest, like one more time all the way through. So I'll get three times of Danielson Omega. It was that good. Like, ladies and gentlemen, we watched history, I think.
Like, the only thing that would make that better is if there was no time limit and there was a, guess there would have been a, there would have been a winner.
I disagree.
I mean, I like what was done for what it was done. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking in the grand scope of things. I could see them capping off the two of them. Maybe not right away, yeah. Right? Just like with Ruby. You don't need to have Danielson go keep a feud with him going on for the next couple months, right? Mm-hmm. At some point, Hangman's going to come back. And Hangman, we've long said, needs to be the one to take the belt off of Omega.
100%.
I have not changed on... Have you wavered at all? I'm still on that 100% in my mind.
It is his destiny as it was foretold.
Okay. I mean, that storyline's been going on for 2.5 years, 3 years now, almost. Gotta be Hangman. Like, I like this a lot. Danielson and Omega, right? I like it a lot. I don't want to see him take the belt off of Omega, though. I just don't.
I don't either. I want to see it one more time, no belt. And no worry of belt. Like, because this one was not for the belt or anything, but I want Omega Danielson 2 when Omega's just a wrestler and not, like, the champ.
Yeah, I can see it. Like, let's go out there and say that. Because it's one of two things. Now we're keep going on. Now we're going fantasy booking, right? Hangman's either going to return at Full Gear.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's going to return next week in Rochester and challenge at Full Gear. Full Gear, for those of you who don't know the whole schedule, the Dynamite after Full Gear is it Norfolk? It's in Norfolk, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
The poster for that, which I'm looking at right now, awtix.com.
Hangman.
Has one wrestler on it, Hangman Adam Page. So, it's a safe bet that he's going to be there for that show, right?
I would think so.
They said he was taking a couple months off, right? This is the initial thing. Well, that's been close to a couple months now. It's been about 7 weeks or so, right? Give or take,
yeah,
something like
that?
Yeah,
it's been a while.
It's been a little bit, so either he returns, that's my thing. I think that, and if he returns at Full Gear, I don't know when they drop the belt, but I think that you do Danielson after that. Kane's a broken man, and he just, maybe it turns him slightly a little bit crazy, right? And where does he turn to that? He turns into, you know, Danielson. I don't know, but anyway. We're fantasy booking now. We'll see what happens. We'll have to see what happens on Rampage next. So the Grand Slam Rampage be on Friday night. Check it out. We'll review that and give you guys our thoughts next Tuesday. We're going to talk about Impact as well. I want to see what the fallout was from Victory Road. I know there's an intergender match for Impact this week. It's Rohit Raju versus Chelsea Green.
Ooh, that should be a fun one.
It should be. I want to see that. And Alexander's officially relinquishing the title per his option C cash-in. So there's going to be some X Division things. If you're not checking out Impact Wrestling, and I know it's hard to, because how do you fucking find it, right? But if you can get it, it's worth your time. It is very. They're the closest competition, I would say, to AEW, to be truthful. Them and New Japan, for real. Because they're actually wrestling companies.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, so, and look for next Tuesday, our special guests. It's going to be good stuff. It's going to be very nice, very evil. That's not a clue. No,
oh my God, I wish it was, though.
We already interviewed him, well, just not on camera.
We just talked to him and, like, didn't do the super fanboy, hey, can I get a picture with you? Like, I'm so glad we didn't do that to him. Just
I'm so glad. So, and for those of you in Kansas City, a fair reminder, last thing, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., AEWTix.com. Get your tickets to the Independence Event Center. That's not what it's called anymore. It's the Cable Dahmer Arena. Excuse me. Or whatever.
It's Cable Dahmer, you know, right
Cable
now.
Dahmer, yep. It's the Cable Dahmer Arena for November 3rd's Dynamite. So, all right, that's all we got. Jamie, do you have anything else you want to add on?
No, not at all.
All right. Well, thank you guys for watching. Thank you for listening. We will see you next Tuesday. Take us home, Jamie.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not down with Total Spot Fest, I got two words for you. Shots fired.
I thought you were going to go suck it. I really did.
I almost did for that one. But no.
One day you will. It'll be great.
I know.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Peace.